Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. This one today is the book of Philippians. We're going through the epistles of Paul the Apostles, of the Apostle Paul. And I've been telling everybody about my book here, Rose Books of Bible Charts, Maps, and Timelines. Not a doctrinal philosophy book, but a very great with Bible aids and tools. One of the coolest of them all that I have enjoyed. And I know this isn't an effective way to do this, but it's all right. It'll help you see the reality of it. Is this timeline, come on, in the front of the book. This is a timeline that not only shows you the things of God, the people of God, but it's also a timeline of natural history, world history. And then on the back side of that is a picture of the temple, the tabernacle. Actually, I mean the wilderness tabernacle as the children of Israel. And it's got maps and it's got charts and it's got the apostles and who they were. And, you know, it's just got a really great. If you like to study the Bible and the study of the Bible, I would encourage you to get it because it's filled with great strength. And there's maps in the back. Holy Land then and now, the Middle East then and now gives you the Jesus tour, you know, the Jesus, what he did, where Jesus walked, and then the world of the first Christians then and now. And then the last maps they give you is Apostle Paul's journeys. Shows his first journeys, how he went up out of Jerusalem over into Antioch and then came back across to Perga and over to Antioch and then back down. And then his second journey, which is where he walked for 500 miles. And God said, don't go there. And when he got to Troas, he had the vision in a dream, in a vision of the night. Well, deep sleep falls upon man, right out of Job 33. The man from Macedonia said, come over here and help us. So in Paul's second missionary journey begins in Philippi. Because he went through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and God said, don't preach. Get to Troas. You know how many people Paul passed from Lystra to Troas that needed Jesus? But God needed Paul in Philippi. And so it's one of the greatest lessons that you and I learn in the kingdom, and that is get to where God wants you to be. Why? Because when you get there, you'll be doing exactly what you should. Welcome, Sunday Geyser. We love you. Thank you for being a part of this Read the Word today. Now, once Paul got to Neapolis and Philippi and Amphipolis, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Cenchrea, that's all across Europe where the European church began. Is right here at the beginning of when Paul crossed over and established the church at Philippi, which is what we're going to read. Now, I've titled this today, Philippians, a partner letter to a giving church and the righteousness of faith. Because that's really what this whole book is really about. The Philippian church was a very giving church to Paul, and Paul spends almost all of chapter 4 talking about that. But in chapter 3, Paul deals with self-righteousness and the righteousness of faith. So here we go. Hold your Bibles up. Let's make our confession. We'll get right into the Word of God again here. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's Word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. I go do what he tells me to do. Today I receive this word. It'll be planted into my heart and produce 100-fold return and more. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Now, this is the first one of his letters where he uses those two terminologies. And yet, in the church, there must have been bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like everything Paul did, he started with grace and peace because of Jesus and the Father. And that's what you and I do. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you all, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. We saw it in Colossians. We saw it in Ephesians. And here it is now in Philippians. Paul is praying for the people. Their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Circle it. Underline it. Do something to set it apart in your Bible. Just as it is for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Now, Paul is writing this in the Roman jail. He's in Rome. And, of course, he's writing to the Philippians. He's probably about 500 miles from them, the way the crow flies. And he's in the Roman jail. Interesting. Verse 8. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. You got to live without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. You don't get this of your own. Fruits of righteousness comes as a gift from Jesus to the glory and praise of God. 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. So that it has become evident, 14, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy, some from strife, some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. In this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Paul's got a little more grace on that than me, because these people that preach out of strife and they speak against God's leaders, I don't get that at all. I don't get it. I'm not Jesus. 19, for I know this will turn out to my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Some of you have been looking for that verse. Underline it. But if I live on the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell you. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Paul's like, well, I'm going to get out of Rome, and then I'm going to come visit. And he said that the same thing to the Colossians. He never did. Watch this. Paul is wrestling with, well, I could go to heaven right now if I wanted to. That's a decision. Old Testament, it says they waxed fat, kicked, and went to heaven. Paul said, I need to stay so I can be with you and help you. 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Don't be afraid of the devil and quit making a doctrine out of him. Making a doctrine out of him. He's already defeated. 29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, Christ, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here in me. Chapter 2. Therefore, if any man is, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, be of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. One of the things that happen as a church begins to grow, any church, is people get a position and then they start looking around saying, yeah, look at here, I'm, look at what I'm doing now. Yeah, look at me. Well, no, ain't nobody looking at you. We need to look at Jesus. Amen? And remember, ain't one of us got anything except what something that was given to us by God. So keep yourself humble and just realize that it's the grace of God that gives you the ability to do anything you do. Don't seek to put your face out in front. Don't seek to have your voice above everybody else's when we're singing or talking or speaking. That's vainglory. Just seek to be a part and to be your part. Amen. 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and came and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Interesting, isn't it? Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is high above every name. Why? Because he listened to the Father, became obedient to the point of death. He did. And therefore, God highly exalted him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved brother, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you be a Christian. Walk with God. Don't do something because you see brother over here do it. Don't start a ministry because you see somebody over there doing it. I've always loved Dr. Barclay. He's always said, what I do in Midland may not work in Kansas City. One day I was talking to him and he said, I was in West Branch. He said, what I do in Midland may not work in West Branch. And I was praying to God, talking about it. And God said, son, you live in Cowsville. He lives in Dowsville. Two way different places, just like here, North Dakota. North Dakota and Dow are two different places. The oil field and Dow Chemical, two different, totally different worlds of business. Both of them worth billions. Come back, we'll talk about that another day, but right now let's read the word. We've got every tongue confessing that Jesus is Lord, and we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Why people think you got to be down, depressed, sad, and forlorn, and all broke, busted, and disgusted in order to please God. God wants you filled with him so you will bring forth his good pleasure. You ain't going to do that broke, busted, disgusted, sick, sorrowful, sad, lost, lonely. That ain't God. That ain't God. Verse 10, 14, I mean. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. When you complain, you begin to build inside yourself an evil heart of unbelief. Because you're really basically saying, you didn't do anything for me, God. You missed. You can't do that. Verse 16, holding fast to the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Verse 19, I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come to you shortly. Verse 25. I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in high esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his own life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. That Epaphroditus guy, he must have been a pretty cool guy. Chapter 3. I like this when Paul says, finally, my brethren, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation, those that are commanding everybody to be circumcised. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Have no confidence in the flesh, your physical acts. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in my flesh, I more also, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had a doctorate degree in Phariseeism, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now watch this. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. 613 laws, and he could keep them all. He tithed his salt and his pepper. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. One translation says, count them as dung that I might gain Christ. 9, and be found in him. Remember how Ephesians said in him? And be found in him, not having my own righteousness. That's self-righteousness, which is from the law. But having that righteousness, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. God gave the righteousness to Jesus. Jesus gave the righteousness to us. You receive it. It fills you, and you function in it. Woo! 10, that I might know him. This is my life verse right here. That I might know him. Spend every day of your life learning to know him. Because you're not a steward of a doctrine. You're not a steward of a membership club card. We are stewards of the very presence of God Almighty Jesus in our lives. We're the steward of a presence. It's so much bigger than a doctrine or a church or denomination. Phew. 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. 12, not that I've already have obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. May I find the reason why God grabbed a hold of me and become it. It's not who I am, it's what I do. Who I am is a child of God that walks with God every day. And as we mature and grow, then he sends us out to do work for him. 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, that means grown up, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Now, I want you to think about this grown up for a second. Because people are like, well, Pastor, you know, I'm 50 years old. I know 50-year-old men that don't have any accountability for nothing. They won't be accountable to anybody for nothing. Growing up means you accept maturity. You accept responsibility for every word you speak and every action you take. And you don't ever just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well, it's just me. No, you let God check you on everything you do. You grow up. Because God can't put his wonderful, amazing anointing and presence on somebody that will be out there flapping their lips, offending a bunch of people, or somebody who can't handle it when a whole bunch of people are offended at you. You got to grow up. What does that mean? You got to open this book. You got to begin to see what it says. You got to learn to keep your tongue. Remember what Jesus said? I only say what I hear my Father say. You going to tell me Jesus didn't have a lot more to say to the scribes and Pharisees? Jesus very specifically told us, I can of myself do nothing. And many days, that meant hold your mouth and don't say a word. Most definitely, don't say things that are just old wives' tales and are that are against the word of God. When you speak against his word, he won't trust you with his presence. It's good preaching, even if I'm the only one saying amen, because I'm the only one here. Well, Sunday's there, but you can't hear her. I know she's saying amen. I know Sister Sunday. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by that same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Why? God wants the gospel visible that you and I are growing in that gospel. 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able even to subdue all things to himself. Love you, Sunday. Chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown. Look at what Paul said about these people. They were his joy and his crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellows workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. When you do, peace of God, which passes all understanding, will rule your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is anything praiseworthy, if there's anything virtuous, meditate on these things. Things which you learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And he's a prisoner. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not a verse for somebody that's out sinning and just wandering around and then because you want to feel righteous or holy on Sunday, you stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Now, these are people that are walking with God and doing everything he's given them to do. And now you can. 14, nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. So they sent aid to Paul. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me, they greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those who are of Caesar's household. Isn't that something? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. Paul was anointed by God to lead these world leaders and influence them with the gospel, because he was a humble servant. This is a wonderful book. He talks about them. He encourages them to be holy. Teaches the righteousness of faith again. Not self-righteousness. Speaks to some of the brothers and sisters to be in love. Teaches us to be of one mind, one heart. Meditate on the good things. And then he says to the Philippians, and by the way, thank you so much for partnering with me. And he actually teaches them that they have an account in God. I desire that this be added to your account. So that's something. That's something. Because there's an account with our name on it. And you and I, verse 17, must learn to take care of the men and women of God that God sends us. And most times, it's not for them. They're already cared for. It's for you and for your heart to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then God's blessing comes on you. Helps them get the gospel preached, most certainly. Whenever God tells you to sow a seed, sow it. Those of you that's looking for a good church, we have a church here. You might be between churches and saying, I don't even know what to do, Pastor. I can't find a good church anywhere that seems to believe in God. And there are cities all over that's actually the case. It actually is. And you can come here and be with us. We're here every day. We talk about faith. We study faith. We grow and develop in faith. And we teach you to be a light and a shining example right there in your community. And God will lead you exactly what you should do. Paul was encouraging them. Because you've given, taken care of the church, Jesus said there's a hundredfold return to you. And Paul said, my God will supply your needs just like he's supplied mine. And thank you for being a valuable part and praying for us. As some of you sow to us, thank you for your seed. It helps us preach the gospel right here in Williston. And then most definitely what we do is around the world. Blog Talk Radio is running right now, reaching 53 nations of the world. It's amazing. I don't know how you could tell what nations you reach with YouTube, but maybe someday they'll send me some kind of a diagnostic tool that says, here's what you're doing. But we encourage you in Jesus to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And keep yourself focused. Whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on those things, which is going to cause you to turn a lot of this garbage off. Keep your mind set on things that are above. and God will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's pray the prayer of salvation, because we always want to give everyone that comes the opportunity to know who Jesus is. Are you ready? Pray this prayer with me. I'll say it in a few words. You pray it with me. It doesn't matter who you are. In 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. Father, in the name of Jesus, you say, I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life. I say this. So Jesus, here's my bold declaration. I believe you are the only begotten Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands out like this and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the church of Jesus Christ. Not of Latter-day Saints, but just the church, the body of Christ. Glad to have you with us. Yeah, I can tell. There's somebody like, man, what's going on, Bess? God Almighty just came and filled you with himself. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 17. Oh, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead came to live in you. And he now bears witness that you are the child of God, and you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Yeah. In one prayer, the light of the world came in. Faith himself is in you, the author and finisher. So light is in you, faith is in you, hope is in you. And now what you got to do is just walk with God every day. Be a Christian in a list of rules and regulations. That's not God. Get you a Bible. I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Mine's the New King James Version if you want to study with me. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, to begin. Read them again. Do that about 5 or 6 times. Why? Because that'll show you the life of Jesus and the beginning of the church. It'll be a blessing. You can come right here to read the word and do it with me. We read all the Gospels together. Then we read the book of Acts together. And we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. I want to preach and disciple and everything, but let's just read the word. So join us. We have a program at night. We have read the word. We have prayer in the morning. Monday through Friday. We want to be a blessing to you and help you know God. You can search my name in almost any subject, and you'll find a video on it. And who knows, it'll be a live video just like these are. And most of them, people are talking on Facebook and YouTube, and we're laughing and joking and having a good time, but it's a great study. Answering questions and asking questions and being a blessing to the body of Christ. I encourage you to join with us. Anything we can do to help you, send me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. It's right down there in the comments or in the notes. And ask me a question. Give me an answer. Tell me your story. Give us a prayer request. We'll be glad to be a blessing to you in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you the next time we're here at Read the Word, remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon. In Jesus' mighty name.